Ambassador Saeed Kamal on March 12, 1998 at the League of Arab States offices in Cairo, Egypt. And my name is Jean Krasnov. So to begin, for the record, Ambassador Kamal, could you explain something about your background, where you were born and educated, and something about your diplomatic career?
Well, thank you very much. I will arrange to you a copy in English here, but I can tell you from now. I'm born in Nablus City, West Bank, and 1938. And I graduated in the school for the young, for the Najah, which is now the university. Najah, in Najah College. And at that time, there is no university that in the West Bank, either in Gaza, in Palestine, and one in Jerusalem, there was. When I finished my graduate matriculation in 1957, I intended to go to Baghdad. I've been in prison after 6 months in Baghdad, and then I've been expelled from Baghdad to Syria, where we met President Nasser. At that time, there is unity between Syria and Egypt, 1958. And I transferred to the University of Alexandria because I was to study economic and political sciences, which was only in Alexandria University, even not in Cairo or Ain Shams that time. So I graduated in Alexandria University, economic and political sciences. 1966. Meanwhile, I'm one of the establisher of the General Union of Palestine Students. A member of the Arab National Movement, too. And, the big party, equal to Ba'athist Party.
Very interesting. And then, all right, so in your capacity as the PLO representative to the UN, and your work on Palestinian issues here at the Arab League, I would like to talk to you about the role of the Palestinians and the PLO in various Middle East crises. So that's just the beginning. But I would be very, I think it would be very helpful to have your view of some of the history, because that would be important. And what is the Palestinian view of the UN's, the partition plan that the UN proposed in 1947 to partition Palestine into a Palestinian state and an Arab state?
First of all, let me correct your information. I'm not PLO representative of the UN. I was attending UN on behalf of the PLO delegation. And the PLO representative to UN, first of all, was Isa Nakhla before was PLO established, and then Mr. Saadat Hassan, who resigned, and then Mr. Zuhdi Tarzi, and then now Nasser Kudwa, who is the observer representative to UN. But I was attending the General Assembly since 1974 as, let me frankly speaking, but my role with Dr. Nabil Shams, I was representing the political department headed by Kadoumi, Mr. Kadoumi, and Nabil Shaiz was representing the chairman, Chairman Arafat, from PLO, both of us. We went with our two wives to New York, first time in my life, because I'm blacklisted. And but I've got this visa on behalf of the Egyptian list, was headed by late Ismail Fahmy, Minister of Foreign Affairs, and also Nabil Shaiz, both of us. We went on the Egyptian list as an advisor to prepare for invitation to Chairman Arafat to come to UN, plus the resolution had been issued for that. And then we continue our list. Myself, I continue as a political department to concern the activities of the PLO outside the area. Nabil Shaiz went one time, two times, and then I continue with Mr. Kadoumi. And others, of course, to United Nations. So I'm not a representative of PLO, UN.
Okay, okay.
But what I representing PLO with the delegation.
With the delegation, as a member of the delegation.
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
So this is,
that's a good clarification. Yeah. Okay.
And if you go back to the history of the UN, you will find my name as a member of the... But I start as an advisor of the Egyptian delegation.
That's
1974.
In 74.
When we start, yeah. Okay. This is the story. Starts here in Arab League. Now we start to go.
Yeah.
It was indeed was that was a proposal given by Ismail Fahmy. Who's Ismail Fahmy? Who's behind the idea that PLO should go there?
Okay. Okay.
Because we have now a full membership in Arab League, full membership in Islamic Conference.
Right.
Observer at that time with the Non-Aligned Movement. Observer in the African Unity Movement. He said, so you need only the UN, so you should go there and start.
Yeah.
Of course, there is a political means by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Idea. We accept the PLO from top to the bottom. Little bit, there is some rightist, leftist, extremist wings in PLO they were against. But later on, they participate.
Yeah.
When they see it good, I mean, fruitful for the Palestinian. Now, according to the old question of yours, I think, was the Barshinka.
The view of the Palestinians of the partition plan.
Let me tell you. Indeed, we were against. If we start, we are being educated why we were against the partition plan issue. Because if a people, of leaders of the people, and the Arab nation, accept that, they accept that a copier, come and have a part of your country, homeland, which is comes from centuries for the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
How you accept for national reasons, not for human reasons. Until you find the difference between national reasons, as Shalamot Aloni, she addressed the conference in Brussels just 10 days before. She said, I am an Israeli nationalist, but I would like to tell you, Mr. Prime Minister is a big occupier. He's against our nationalism, against our history, against... So you find, same now we've had it in Israel, that was in Palestine. Totally, we were against the partition of Palestine, this issue. But we were in good relation and living with the Jews in Palestine. Well, treat them as they treat us, exactly what they're being treated in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
or in Iraq, or in Yemen, or everywhere,
mm-hmm.
in the Arab world. So that's the basis why we were against.
Right.
Political reason. And you know, the Arab countries, where there's seven Arab countries,
right.
as a member of the Arab League too.
Mm-hmm.
Now 22, but that time, the seven Arab countries, before the Palestinians rejected, also they rejected. And they start to promise to do their efforts to solve this problem on the basis of the right of Palestinians to live in their country independent, not by being occupied by the Zionist movement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Acting Israel instead. Let me tell you, in 1946, my memory very well, there is a committee, Anglo-Saxon committee,
mm-hmm.
come, it's not on behalf of the UN, but it's American English, to come to the area to understand the reality.
Mm-hmm. Fact-finding.
Fact-finding, yeah. And that was in 1946.
46, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And before, when they start to feel something wrong, coming after the rich mandate to remove or to withdraw.
Yeah.
And the Zionist movement start to call for Palestine as a national homeland, and they were accepted at that time, which they now rejected for the Palestinians, 20% less to Israel. This committee is coming and being met by all the Arabs, except those who are not independent, but they are struggling for independence from the Moroccan area. Mm-hmm. Bourguiba mm-hmm. was in exile here.
Okay.
And Khattabi from Morocco. Mm-hmm. And Mukhtar from Libya.
Okay.
And they've been, they met this committee in Mina House Hotel. I've got this record from President Bourguiba later on when he became president of Tunis.
Okay.
It's fantastic. They convince this committee, Anglo-Saxon American, that to solve the Jewish problem, not to divide Palestine, mm-hmm. or to divide any Arab country. But the Jews should back to their homeland where they come and they start to be increased in Palestine mm-hmm. for political reason to establish this national homeland for the Jews.
Right, right.
And this is why Bourguiba said after 20 years of that time that you should accept the partition plan. When we, not the Palestinian, refused, or the Arab at that time, but it was a human solution for this committee mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to avoid troubles which happened from time to time since that time.
Right, right, yeah.
And that's why I connected and tell you, Bourguiba as a president of Tunis, why he recalled the Palestinian people to accept the partition plan, 1948, and we were against him, all the Arab in the eastern part, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Palestinian, of course, mm-hmm. mainly, mm-hmm. and the Gulf, protesting and shouting against him.
Right.
But indeed, let me find him, let's be frank speaking, when we go to this document, which I saw in 46, and he convinced me, look how we, three of us, Libyan, Tunisian, Moroccan, and in exile, representing our people, because afraid that Tunis could be divided. He said, mm-hmm. we were against that.
Yeah.
But now Israel is a fact. How you could go back again to Palestine, all Palestine? Mm-hmm. So you should accept the international legality. That's his advice.
Yeah.
Now, going back, when we start to prepare ourselves going to United Nations, this question was widely among the PLO leadership. When Chairman Arafat is going to address yeah. the General Assembly,
yeah.
what he should say, there is divisions inside
right.
PLO in the Central Council.
Central Committee.
Central Council, no. Majlis
al-Majlis.
Central Council is around, at that time it was around 45
okay.
members.
Yeah.
From all the functions of PLO,
yeah.
plus independent personalities. We met in Damascus.
Okay.
And after my going with Nabil Shaiz to the United Nations, and we succeeded in getting a resolution welcoming Chairman Arafat to address General Assembly, so we come to say our view that Chairman Arafat should address the General Assembly clearly on the Palestinian issue, talk about the history, which were our right, but politically, we should accept for human reasons to live together on the partition plan, which
okay.
is 181 and 194. Indeed, there was a wide discussion from 6 o'clock the evening time in Damascus up till 1 o'clock. Differences.
Okay.
Till we reached Chairman Arafat, very clever, he said, we should use that resolution in giving the international community a signal that we are ready to accept it because we don't trust the Israeli if we said yes to the Palestinian plan that they will accept it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened now. Even 2-for-2, they are playing on that. So that time was Sheikh Arafat's idea. Mm-hmm. We can use it in my speech for the thing. And, well, it was a solution among all the
okay.
members of the Palestinian side.
Okay.
And he used it, but the Jews, the Israelis, the Americans, the Europeans, When they listened to him, he said, they said, it's a tactic, clever tactic by the Palestinians. That they mentioning the partition plan as the legal base that you decided, not us. They didn't say, well, that you decided, not ourselves, not the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, he let be a gap between the acceptance of the international legality and our rejection, I mean, our
rejections.
Mm-hmm. But diplomats understand that we are ready.
Okay.
Without any commitment, pre-commitment, no.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the story of some of the important views later on said that if we would like to create a government in exile, we should, based on the partition plan.
Oh, okay.
But because it's not accepted by the Palestinians, let's say by majority of the Palestinians, inside PLO, so it's too difficult to create a government. You remember when Sadat said, well, I'm ready to welcoming a government in exile for the Palestinians.
Yeah.
And even he didn't say you should accept it on the partition plan or on 242. He said, create it. But, you know, I believe that time, if that's been created, no more than 40 states will recognize it.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, 22 or 20 from Arab states and 20 from the Islam countries.
Okay.
So it's nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you should work on a basis and a deal with others to recognize the partition plan and the PLO as a government in exile. It was too difficult at that time, I mean.
Yeah. It was too difficult at that time. Yeah.
Palestinian reasons and, you know, the circumstances of the Arab world.
So I wanted to ask you some more about, a little bit more about the history, and I don't know, you know, you seem to know a lot about the history,
I hope.
I think it's very useful because people who haven't been involved in it don't understand it very well.
Right.
Okay, so at the time that the British left Palestine and they had announced they were going to give up the mandate and leave. So in 1948 they left. What was the circumstances then when they left? Because war broke out, and what were the arrangements or what kinds of conversations went on between the Palestinians who lived there and the Arab states that surrounded Palestine?
Indeed, first of all, after the occupation 1948-49, part of the refugee went the West Bank, which is being kept in the Arab hand, you know, that I remember Jordanian army and Iraqi army, and a little unit of Egyptian army inside the West Bank. And Egypt go to Gaza, Egyptian army.
Mm-hmm.
So a part of the Palestinians from this part that been occupied, let's say, spell, being pushed to be by massacred,
yes,
here and there,
okay,
to West Bank and Gaza and Lebanon, Syria, Egypt. Very short, they come Egypt from Jaffa, from Haifa,
mm-hmm,
about 35,000 come to Egypt, but the big amount was Jordan, West Bank and East, and then Syria and Lebanon.
Okay.
And of course, they were, later on, they expand in the Arab countries.
Okay.
But after the war broke out,
mm-hmm,
the Arab state had become
the Arab state, the Palestinian, after the intervention of Britain. I understand the
question. I
wanted to make this. Well, she reminded me of a very important thing.
Okay.
And after that happened as a de facto status, there was a government established, headed by Haj Amin Husseini.
Uh-huh.
And they are leading the jihad, Palestinian,
yeah,
against the mandate, the British mandate, and vis-a-vis the British, the Zionist movement. And they start to talk to the Arab surrounded countries, what they are promising the Palestinians, that they will do their best with their efforts through the international community, even through the war, to let the Palestinians return to their homeland.
Okay.
And this is Palestinian, I don't understand if that's a mistake or not. They accept this promise.
Okay, okay, yeah.
I don't want to make a judge, because maybe now I am in the court of the events. Maybe my son, after 20 years, you said my father was wrong when he accepted Israel in 242 and so also, et cetera, et cetera, you know. So I don't want to be from now if they were right or wrong, our leaders. But, you know, when you fail, everybody will put on your shoulder the responsibility. So everybody said, that's their mistake.
Yeah. But they have to make the decision within the circumstances of the time.
Don't forget that at that time, the influence of Britain and France was exist. And Britain and France behind Israeli in their calling Israel state.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they have their influence in the Arab, these Arab countries, so maybe they use their tactic how to convince the Arab leaders to convince the Palestinians to accept. You understand?
Okay.
But the Arab, as I told you from the beginning, they reject even the partition plan, under the promises to the Palestinians that they will give the political efforts its chances, otherwise go back to war. And since that time, we face the thing that the Palestinian West Bank is empty. No administrative, even no security for this country. So the Palestinians have a meeting in Jericho City.
Okay.
From West Bank. And with some of refugees from the families of the Ebenezer. And they are in a very dilemma, a very big dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
No state, no government.
Right. Yeah.
There is army from Jordan, army from Egypt, yeah, army from Iraq,
mm-hmm,
were kept after the war ceasefire. And by majority of those who have been attend this meeting, calling King Abdullah,
yeah, Jordan,
Jordan,
mm-hmm,
for united the West Bank with the East Bank under,
yeah,
the kingdom of Jordan, and in the Arab League, they consider Amana.
Amana?
It's Amana.
Ah, it's a kind of...
which is very difficult in English. As a deposit?
Yes.
A deposit,
yeah. You know something, you entrust somebody with something.
Yeah. Okay.
We accept your domination, your controlling West Bank provisionally.
Okay. Yeah.
Vis-a-vis Egypt also, to Gaza,
yeah,
to be accepted provisionally. And look, Egypt was kingdom, King Farouk, that was.
Okay.
Before,
right,
revolution.
Right, that's right.
And
yeah,
and this, and the Egyptian under the Prime Minister Nahas. Nahas Pasha, who was the Wafdist that time.
Mm-hmm.
They insist that this is a provisional administration under the Egyptian kingdom.
Yes, but it is something temporary.
Temporary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Understand?
So the Palestinians agreed to
let me frankly. The Palestinians in West Bank, under the feeling lost everything, they need somebody to
take control.
Take control.
Yeah.
They ask for unity with East Jordan under the United Arab.
Uh-huh.
But the Palestinian government in exile, Jihad, Islam, Jihad al-Palestini, which is under Hajj Amin Husseini, here in the Arab League, uh-huh, that time, they insist to be a provisional responsibility, temporary responsibility, and all the Arab, including Jordan, finally, accept that resolution.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
In the beginning, the Jordanians were a little bit misunderstand why those people accept United, calling for unity, and but the government in exile insist for that that time when it was hot issue
in
the Arab world.
Right. Okay.
By time it became a cold issue.
Mm-hmm.
Resolutions and resolutions in the Arab world, in the Arab League, in the United Nations. Nothing. The Palestinians live under these promises. Nothing. I'm telling you the story, the history.
Yeah.
I'm not here judge according to the Arab states.
Now, when Ralph Bunche negotiated the armistice agreement, and they did it separately with Egypt, the Arab countries, with Egypt separately, with Jordan separately, with Syria. What were the provisions? Were there any provisions for the Palestinians in those
armistice agreements?
Armistice
agreements.
Only the refugee problem, I think. Continue the efforts for solving the refugee problem.
Okay. So it was really simply...
They consider the problem as a refugee
problem. As a refugee problem.
Which is not, of course...
Okay.
Not really, it's not a fact. Mm-hmm. But, you know... Well, this is what they, the intention of the world, that after time, it's a refugee problem, so solve it.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is Israel. They start.
Okay.
And here, the revolution among the Palestinians towards Israel start to change the mind. Slowly, slowly in the world, which is not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
We were suffering for that.
Yeah.
And still.
How was the United Nations regarded by the Palestinians at the time? What did the Palestinians think of the UN?
Well, the problem is the new generation, let's just say, start to feel where's the mistake. We don't ask who's behind this mistake, even Palestinian or Arab.
Yeah.
What we should solve? UN? We have our documents, resolutions of the UNRWA and the refugee repeated in the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Without calling for a Palestinian state, even. Part simple.
Yeah.
Except Isa Nakhla. Isa Nakhla of representing of the Haj Amin Husseini. Till now he's living, by the way. You should go to see him in New York.
Oh, he's in New York?
Yes, he's 85 years old and now already. Very important man.
Yeah.
You know, of course, he's going to defend his generation, of course.
Sure.
It's normal.
Yeah.
As I am doing now.
That's right.
It's normal. But he have a lot of information.
Yeah.
They were still against partition plan. No way to live in this territory called Palestine, old Palestine, the Palestinian people.
Yeah. Okay.
Never live with those people. The Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And the contrary, the Palestinian, when they've been educated well, I mean, start to understand the international language, political language. Listen, I have my experience, myself.
Mm-hmm.
When I start to be in the Arab national movement, we have one goal to us, revenge.
Mm.
And Ba'athist Party, revenge. The communists, they were more practical, the leftists.
Mm.
To see it from different view, that we should find out a solution, durable solution, equal solution for the Jews and the Arabs. When we grown up, our generation, we start to understand this fact. And immediately, and that was in a very wide dialogue with the USNSA, the United States American Students, and the UNEF in France.
Okay.
And we were the groups, General Union of Palestine Students.
Okay.
Through the COSEC in Leiden, Holland, those international Western students' activities, that's before PLO.
All right. Yeah.
And with the IOS, where is the International United Students in Prague was the communist under the, you know, we start to, and it's rare to us to understand, you should solve this problem. It's not enough to say Israel to the sea. You would like to throw the Israeli people and that to sea. And we think a lot till we reach, as a student, as a new generation, calling for democratic state. One democratic state that everybody live in it, Palestinian, of course, Palestinian democratic state.
Yeah.
That the Jews, the Muslims, the Christians live on equal footing in this. And that was accepted by the Americans. New generations affected by, you know, this, these organizations were affected by the establishment in this country, either in the Prague or in Washington. And that's, you know, establishment, what I mean.
Yes,
you know? So according to us, there is no establishment, even our consciousness and our mind. That's why you find some Arab countries were against us. I will tell you, between brackets, King Faisal. He said, you are a traitor.
Excuse me, what's off the record?
This one, because I don't want
What's off the record,
please? Oh, okay.
So that's why I said Fatah later on. Because a part of leadership of Fatah is a part of my generation, our generation.
Right, yeah.
Start to call for a democratic state, Palestinian democratic state.
Yeah.
And that they convince King Faisal in that.
Yeah, okay.
Because they have a wide 1968, but look, between us as a students, 1965, 3 years Fatah established after the 1967 war, and in 68, Fatah start to control PLO after Shukairi, and they have a good and wide meeting in the palace in Saudi Arabia with King Faisal with his family, and he said, well, this is your alternative, I am pro. This is your alternative, and he used a very important wisdom, I don't know how you could translate it, Ahlu Makkah ta'adra bishabi.
You know, the people of Mecca know it better. That's an Arab proverb, meaning that you
decide that. Yeah. I am pro you. Okay. You are a Palestinian. You chose.
You know, your circumstances better than I do. So you, your alternative, your option.
Yeah.
I am pro you. But not just You explain to me. So from 1965 to 1968, 3 years, Saudi changed their view. And let me tell you frankly from now, Saudi Arabia is the latest Arab country to recognize Israel.
And
that's on the record. I can't tell you because I'm sure of that.
That's a fact.
For different reasons, not because they are against peace. No. But there is other reasons, stronger than the peace itself. So this is the idea of giving a part of on the democratic state.
Okay. I've been interviewing various people, including Ambassador Gorbachev, about the 1956 war. And I just wanted to ask you, what was the effect on the Palestinians? Was there an effect on the Palestinians of the 1956 war?
Well, pro-Egypt, a wide support in the Arab world. Whatever is Mr. Gorbachev told you. I mean, about the war itself. I don't know, he's no better than me. But to us, to the Palestinian, to the Arab in this area, in Gulf, everywhere in the Arab world, were pro-Egypt, pro-Nasser, widely. Look, why? If you ask me. Even the Palestinian who, because you remember King Hussein, he called Nasser. Would like me to open fire? He said, no, I don't want you to open fire because I'm afraid that the West Bank will swallowed by the Israelis. Look, that was a clever 1956, why he's repeated wrongly in 1967. But King Hussein, because he felt the public opinion.
Okay, so let me just go over that again so I get it right, because King Hussein asked Nasser, should he
open fire on
the Jordanian side?
And
Nasser said,
yes,
no. Don't do that.
Don't do that, because I don't want West Bank to be swallowed again. I mean, enough. What the Israeli
have,
I don't want them to occupy it more.
Yeah. Okay.
And he was clever. And this is in Al Azhar, you know, in Al Azhar Mosque, in a big mosque, on one Friday day.
Okay.
He went to address the Egyptian and the Arab from Al Azhar Mosque here.
Okay.
If you go back to this, it's registered.
Okay.
Now, the public opinion consider, like me, I was still young, 56, 20, 21.
Yeah, okay.
To find a leader challenges Britain, France, and Israel, to us undermine that, you know?
Right.
So everybody stand beside it.
Okay.
Behind it.
Yeah.
After that, we start to listen, to hear that it was a political game being played well by Nasser and the American helping.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
This is, I don't know. I hear it.
You hear that. Right.
There's a difference. You can check it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But Eisenhower stand beside you.
That's right. Yeah. Completely. No, that's true. That's very true. Oh yeah, in the UN and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I'm kind of moving chronologically forward, but in 1964, the PLO was established.
Yes.
Okay. What was the role of President Nasser in the establishment of the PLO?
I will tell you. In 1963, the Palestinians in their camps, in their exile in Gulf, in Lebanon, in Syria, secretly in Jordan, I mean the West Bank and Jordan, in Gaza, start to say, no way to listen to the Arab, even to the international community. We should fight.
Oh, okay, okay.
This was...
So now we were talking about
this. This mobilization,
yeah.
They would like to know who's behind this coin. Even President Nasser was a little bit...
taken. That's still a secret.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason when a lot of Palestinian intellectuals go to Nasser and convince him we should create an organization to be
to take place of
Helmi Basha, who representing this poor government, which have been 1951 up to 1960.
Okay.
3-4
Mm-hmm.
So Nasser sent his special envoy, Dr. Hassan Sabr al-Khouli, and I know him well. He went to Lebanon, to Syria, to Jordan, and to the Gulf countries, and start to study the case. What's going on behind the Palestinians? Why they start to feel that they are Muslimin, to feel that they are despair.
Mm-hmm.
Why they are despair, why they start to say we should fight on our own, we should not take a permission from the Arab surrounded Israel, we should break the barriers, security barriers, army barriers, etc. And that give, in 1964, to Egypt, approved by Jordan and Syria and Lebanon, to create, and Iraq, to create the organization, which is PLO.
Okay, okay.
Let me tell you, it was an organization. When they choose the right person for that, as he is international man, big lawyer, Ahmed Shukairi,
okay,
Ahmed Shukri, he's put the system of this organization, and he is putting that PLO, Palestinian Liberation Movement,
okay.
organization. Mm-hmm. And if you read all the process inside this organization, it's acting government, in a way. In a way.
Yeah, okay, right.
And that's why he, acting here, replaced as representative of the Palestinian people in the Arab League.
Okay, okay.
Not himself, the organization itself, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Under session.
Okay.
But at that time, Fatah start.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's right, okay.
Fatah start their operation, military operation.
Oh, okay, okay.
Headed by Abu Jihad.
Uh-huh, okay.
You know, they were calling about for armed struggle, indeed from two places. Kuwait.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, the first leadership in Kuwait.
The
Palestinian,
yeah. Later on, we're living in Kuwait and
Kuwait.
Working there.
Okay.
Arafat.
Khalid
al-Hassan, Ali al-Hassan,
Abu
Iyad, Salah Khalaf, Abu Iyad, Abu Jihad in Saudi Arabia. He was in Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Okay.
As a teacher. You know.
Okay.
Faruq al-Dumi was in Kuwait, in health ministry.
Okay.
And before he was in Libya, he was Sanusi. You know, this is that's what I'm telling you. There is a start to call for armed struggle, and the first operation.
Mm-hmm.
Have been done, I don't know, it's in Gaza or from West Bank.
Yeah.
I don't remember
I think
exactly.
It was in 1966.
Let me tell you, in 1966, Samouh had been occupied. The village of Samouh.
Okay, so now I wanted to move up to the 1967 war, because at that time President Nasser sent a message to the UN to remove the UN peacekeeping force, the UNEF, that had been there since the 56 war.
Yeah.
So he asked that the UN remove them. What was the PLO view of that decision to withdraw the UN troops in Syria?
PLO?
Yeah.
Look, PLO could differ to Fatah at that time.
Oh, okay. It had, all right, then tell me the two different views then.
PLO is pro-Egypt.
Okay.
Because PLO could not live with that. Even if Syria do it, could not go against Syria.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Or Jordan, or Iraq.
Okay.
But practically, Shukri was informed by the Egyptian presidential office about everything.
Okay, right.
So you remember he was in Jerusalem. And with King Hussein, I think. So he fly from Jerusalem to Amman with him, and he came from Amman to Cairo.
Okay.
So PLO completely pro-Nasser.
Okay.
Because this is his decision, planned. Fatah, of course, 100% were pro Nasser too,
yeah.
But for different reasons.
Uh-huh.
The reason was that they considered the Qatar, she said, was
UNEF.
UNEF, it was the United Nations Emergency Force, which was the peacekeeping.
So Fatah was against the UNEF.
Oh, okay. Against them being there.
Being there. That will never remove, let the Palestinian question move actively, you know.
Okay.
This
okay.
will keep it silent or sleep on that issue
okay.
without any. So they consider this. So they, for that reason, they support Nasser.
Okay. Okay.
And this. And they pray that he will succeed. So what happened?
Right. Now, in your view, or from a Palestinian view, did they feel that Nasser was planning to attack and that Nasser and Syria were planning to attack Israel at, in 67.
I'm not a military, but I can see my shahadat, you know.
My observations.
Yeah.
There is, of course, a command, one command. It was established in the Arab League.
Joint Arab command.
And Egypt is the head, as it is the head of this defense department, which is now frozen. But that was very active.
Okay.
That was the attendance of this meeting twice a year, the ministerial foreign ministers with the ministerial defense. So Egypt was the head, and there is an operation members. What are Syria, Jordan, only. Because Lebanon considered themselves that way, non-aligned. They are not neutral for local reasons.
Okay.
Interiorism.
Okay.
Anyway, so Syria would, so when he start doing that, if you remember, I mean, expel the UNEF, the Syrians were very happy because